Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels to short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
What is happening?
We are live and in person
together in Miami
at the Miami studio live.
Ooh. Oh, this is exciting.
It's very exciting.
I know.
Yeah, we get to be here. This is our second one, but this time she's in my neighborhood.
I know.
In our offices.
In the studio. This is so fun. So I happen to be here for a couple of things. For those that have been following around, I've been all over the country for the past week. So of course it only makes sense to just end the trip here.
Tell them where you've been going, because it's amazing to see you travel all over the country before you're in the studio this morning.
Oh yeah. Okay. Wait. So first of all, good morning, everybody. Let us know where you're joining from. Jeremy was asking me why I'm not wearing a robe. So first of all, we all know how I feel about robes. But one of the gifts I got a couple days ago, whatever day it was, I got a really fun robe from Omni Hotels, and I actually sent it back home because, Jeremy, my suitcase would be way too heavy if I started just collecting all the things that I've been given over the past couple of days. So I actually mailed it home. So maybe next week from my home studio, I'll wear my new Omni and Southwest robe.
Fancy.
It's very,
I saw the room setup was beautiful.
It's an UGG bathrobe. So it's actually very nice. So I will give them that. So, bonjour. Hello, Maurizio. Oh my gosh. You're like, why are you saying bonjour? You should say it in Italian. Come on. All right, guys. So been to a lot of places last week. We didn't do the live.
No, we did not, but we missed you all. We felt the difference.
Yes.
And when we're here live with you all, it's great to see your answers and your questions and reacting to the stories.
Totally.
So we had to bring it to you this time because Sarah is so busy. She's going. Where are you going after this?
Okay. Well, so after this, I'll be home next week, but then I'll be going to Cabo, Costa Rica, and then I'll be back in Miami. But last week, why we didn't? Oh, buongiorno. Oh my God. Hello. Sorry. My coffee clearly has not kicked in yet, and all of my different languages that are going through my head have not started coming to play. So thank you, Maurizio. Buongiorno. Okay. So last week I was at AHOA, the Asian American Hotel Owners Association, massive conference. They had 8,000 attendees.
Crazy.
That's insane. In Orlando. And it was such an awesome honor. At the very time that we were going live, I was actually moderating the CEO panel with a bunch of CEOs. So from Best Western, Wyndham, Choice Hotels, Sonesta, Motel 6, and Extended Stay America. So it was so much fun. And we had Mr. Wonderful speak after us.
I saw that. You were big time. When I was looking at the pictures coming through there and everyone posting on social media, I was like, there's Sarah.
Yeah.
Look at her.
Oh my God.
Big time.
It was a lot. It was so much fun. And it was a little bit of pressure. We had 30 minutes only and we had 6 panelists. So my job was to really just keep it flowing and make sure everybody felt like they had an equal amount of time to share something. And then we got some laughs too.
Was it worth going and learning?
100%. 100%. It was really good, especially if you have any hotels, whether you're a hotel owner, operator, you have a franchise, if you are under any of those umbrellas of those brands, definitely worthwhile going and networking. And I have to say, they know how to throw a party.
I saw it with Rupesh DJing.
Yeah, oh, Rupesh DJed. Yes. So shout out to Rupesh. I'm so proud of him. He is like he was a DJ. That was his first business when he was a teenager.
See, yeah. The entrepreneurial lifestyle. That's where I was at. Uh-huh. So I think you start that way. You become an entrepreneur.
Totally.
That's going on.
Totally. So he's been DJing around the world, and it was very cool for him to sort of bring it back and DJ there. So then I did a thing, Summit at Sea, which is basically like a TED Talk on a cruise ship. Really great, eye-opening, learning about all sorts of different topics. And then a really cool marketing class with a guy. He was the CMCO of MasterCard.
CMCO, okay.
Yes.
Chief Marketing Commercial Officer.
Yes, exactly.
We got it.
Exactly. It's so wonderful. And then, wow, guys, it's been quite a week.
A lot. Then you're at C-Trade. Now you're here in the office.
Yeah. Well, and then the most important thing, 2 days ago, I did a solar eclipse flight with my friends, Southwest Airlines and Omni Hotels. Shout out to them, by the way. Shout out to Omni as a fellow hotelier for really thinking ahead and doing the strategic partnership with an airline. I didn't really see other hotels doing that.
No, I was looking. I didn't see anything else. So I thought that was really cool.
It was very cool. And it was such a fun flight. We had to stay at an Omni Hotel before, afterwards. It was really great to be a part of. A little challenging to see the eclipse. Yes.
I was watching some of the video of you like tucked underneath the window, looking up through the
seats. You had to like look up in the window. It was like, okay, at this angle, we can get it. But how fun to be a part of it. And now here, celebrating the cruise industry and getting to see you in person.
I love it. I love when we get to do this in person. Yeah. And so, you know, I don't have as many travel stories. I don't know if I could handle those travel stories.
No. Oh, it's a lot.
But I've been doing them locally.
Yes.
50 hotels. Yeah.
What number are we at now?
We are now going to hotel number 19 today.
Ooh.
So 18 is out right now. We went to the Edition Hotel in Miami Beach, which is one of my favorites.
It's a great property.
John Sullivan, the general manager, does a great job there. And so keep your eyes out. If you see me out there, I would love to get you on the video. But I'm trying to go incognito. So sometimes I'm not getting spotted.
Well, and can we're going to do one together towards the end of the month, right?
Can't say where.
No, we can't. No, don't worry.
Say where. We're coming in unannounced. But we will be again.
You won't be able to see us at all. You won't spot us. Two people coming in with our phones. We got it. No, we're not doing anything here. We're not doing anything.
You two need to leave the hotel. We do not allow recording. So that's happened to me twice.
Excuse me, sir. Do you know who we are?
Yeah. We host a podcast with several viewers.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. No, too funny. Okay, we have some fun topics to talk about.
We got some great topics today, so let's jump into
them. Okay, cool. Perfect. So, love this. Now, this has actually been kind of a pretty big deal. So, Hilton recently announced, actually, it was just last week, that they are going to be expanding more into the luxury lifestyle market, and they are going to be acquiring the Sydell Group, the Nomad brand. And why this has been particularly interesting, I don't know if you realize this. I have to see if I know the exact number of years. Pretty much they haven't really acquired a new hotel group in 10 years.
Yeah,
and they did one
just last month.
Just last month. And then this is their second one. So, hey, Hilton is stepping up their game here.
It is definitely tough to grow hotel brands from scratch. And I think Hilton really understands that people want unique experiences. And so if you're looking at what they're buying, they really are buying these unique hotel brands. So Graduate Hotels last month, which I love. I kind of got that eclectic vibe in my office here.
Oh, yeah.
And then you've got the Nomad Hotels.
Nomad, super cool.
Beautiful. And,
by the way, I have to do a special shout out to Adam Bussell, who actually is based here in South Florida. He is my former GM boss, hired me at the last hotel that I worked at, and he is the VP of operations for Sydell Group, unless he's something else even higher than that now. But congrats, Adam. I know how hard you work. He's great. So it's cool to see like people grow with their careers and all these fun things that are going on. So
and building things that people really enjoy.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part. It's like everyone has ideas for these brands and you see it. I think you see the difference. Like we won't say which big brands, but they're creating their own like brands. And sometimes you don't know what they are.
Totally.
You don't remember the name. They're not very remarkable in a lot of ways. So what do? you end up buying something that you people do. Really love.
Exactly. And especially when it's a, you know, maybe a little bit more of like a boutique brand that is very specific, like Graduate Hotels, very, very specific. Nomad Hotels, very specific vibe as well. So this is really, really neat.
And Jeremy, always great to see you.
Yes.
So this could be great. We'll be interested to see how they will train the team to showcase and represent the Hilton brand.
Well, Jeremy, it was like you were on cue for our next topic, by the way. That was a really good transition. And this happened to be in the news as well, too. So Hilton was actually named the number one best company to work for in the U.S. for the 9th consecutive year. So I love that you bring up that training, Jeremy. That is something that they are very, very passionate about, and they do a really good job with it. And it shows. I mean, there were some interesting things that they were it's the 6th consecutive year in the top 10.
Yes.
So, I mean,
there's a ton of companies out there. If you saw on your LinkedIn last week, it seemed like they gave out these awards and everyone was posting that they were like top 100, mm-hmm. top 50, top 25. So this is all companies. This isn't just hotels.
Yeah.
So to be number one and have people be raving fans of working with you as team members, you know how hard that is in hotels right now.
Totally.
Because everyone is short staffed. I'm sure you've seen when you go to these hotels, like they're all very friendly, but maybe not all the services are there. It can be a challenge to keep that motivation and getting your team going. And I see a lot of people investing in training now too. So Hilton really shows this.
Yes. And that's what's been so exciting to see. I will say, and especially because more recently I've been on the road more than usual. I have seen employees across the board, just more engaged, more thoughtful, actually trying to go the extra mile to help me with something. And by the way, I have to say, this past trip, I was like, oh, I'm turning into the guests that used to stay at my hotel. Everything from I can't remember my room number because I've stayed in so many different rooms to I lost or left my iPhone charger on the ship. I had to get one. I didn't. By the way, if you ever leave your iPhone charger somewhere and you remember it at the airport, spend the extra money and buy it at the airport. Don't say, oh, I'll buy it when I get to my. No, it turned into a half day saga for me to end up getting another iPhone charger just because I was trying to save a couple bucks. So you pay for convenience.
Yes. But also lost and found. I met Steven Sinclair from Bounty and he was telling me how they get all the lost and found stuff out.
Yes.
There. So I think it's a very cool.
You finally met him?
I met him. We talked for a while.
In person?
Virtually. Which is just as good as in person.
He's awesome. So
he's very cool.
Shout out.
Free commercial to Bounty.
I know.
Lost and found product.
Well, he always joins in. So
yeah, he's great.
Definitely give him.
But I like what Hilton was doing, that they were making investments in wellness and in growth of their employees and really putting money towards that, because that got cut out big time right after the pandemic. Like the first thing to go was all this training and support that you got from the human resources department. So this is what I loved when I was coming up. I don't know about you, but really all the trainings I got.
Totally.
And it wasn't just customer service. It was like the 7 habits of Stephen Covey. It was like how to use your money. It was all these different things that I loved doing. So,
well, it's interesting. So my very first hotel I worked at was Four Seasons in Washington, D.C. I started at 19 years old. I had just did it was yep. or yeah, 19 years old. And I'll never forget that we did 3 days of training. It was intense, very intense. And there are things that I still remember to this day. So when, and now granted, this is also Four Seasons standards. It does not apply to every single hotel, but some things like if you're walking down the hallway, you step to the side to let the guests go by.
Yep.
Oh, you better believe it. I notice when I'm at a hotel and they do not. And I'm like,
we're getting in the elevator with you with their cart.
Can you move to the side?
Yeah. Get their cart.
I also don't say bro to them.
Bruh. But I would love to, you know, in the real world out here outside of hotels, there's all these standards I wish I could see out there. There's Steven.
Sinclair.
He just gave you a shout out.
Steven. Oh my gosh. We should also give Mauricio a shout out as well too.
What's Mauricio got going on here? He says, love to see the big growth of cool brands like Nomad, but it's sad to see all the small groups being acquired by the big guys. Listen, it is interesting to see. It's hard to run a successful hotel when you get those big checks coming in. There's a good payoff, but I think also it motivates people to create something unique and new. And you're starting to see that with some of the people creating like some of these landscape hotels. You're starting to see people create their own one-off brands. Mm-hmm. So look, keep it going. And I think that you'll see some new cool brands coming up.
Yeah, definitely. And by the way, since we did a shout out to Stephen Sinclair, we will also do a shout out to Maurizio, because Maurizio is with Bellino Fine Linen.
Ooh.
Oh, by the way, I sleep on his sheets. That sounded really odd.
That is the commercial,
but Maurizio.
Clip it.
They're my favorite. They really are my favorite. They keep me cool. We're just turning into a chic commercial right now. But Bellino Fine Linens, they're awesome. They work with a lot of different hotels. So check out Maurizio. Maurizio, say hi in the comments so that people can find you and they can find your linens. Oh my God.
We'll take some samples over here at the offices.
Yes, you will. Speaking of training, let's go on to our next topic. So Accor Hotels, they unveiled their Hospitality is a Work of Art, is the title of it, initiative, which is basically their way of revitalizing hospitality talent culture. And we were just talking about this.
Yes.
These different hotel brands really double down. And we've been saying this for some time, but it's really nice to see that everybody's going forward with it, and they're really putting time into creating this sort of work culture training, because they've found that it increases employees' retention rate, because they feel like they're part of something.
Yes. And so I've worked with an Accor hotel as a client, their Novotel brands, and across Accor, they call their team members the hardests.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Which is an interesting one.
I kind of like that.
The hardest, because they are the heart of the company.
I mean, you know.
And so at first I didn't know what they were saying, but now I like it.
You understand.
Now I get it. But they really understand that, look, there's still a million jobs open just in the United States for hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, the jobs report came out. For the government reporting, and it showed that hospitality was number three, I think, in job growth, but still way behind pace. So this is, the big companies are noticing, like, we have to make changes. We need to make this a fun job again. It can't be the place that, hey, you need to be here no matter what. And so they're really seeing the difference in those changes that they're making.
No, they are. And I like that. So of course they call their, employees hardest, which is really, really clever. But then they also have sort of these different pillars or like themes, so to speak. So they have the one that's the be all you are, which really represents diversity and inclusion, which, by the way, is what we are in the hospitality industry. We have everybody from all different backgrounds, walks of life, cultures, all of that, that are not only working in hospitality, but are coming through our doors of our respective businesses. What's been interesting, I thought this was kind of a cool note. Shout out to my ladies out there. 28% of Accor's hotel general managers are women. So that's kind of awesome. And they're expected to grow to about 40% by 2025, which is pretty
interesting. That's an interesting stat. I didn't realize that
for
Accor, because that hotel here in Miami that I work with, the entire executive team.
Oh,
and so I walked into a room and I was like, I've never seen this. It was all women.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. General managers, marketing, sales, HR, everybody. So
that's awesome.
You know, I think that they were onto something, a great hotel.
Yeah. Very cool hotel. So just some of the other pillars just to share with you guys, they have Grow and Create Your Path, which is sort of their hospitality school of life. Love that. They have Work with Purpose. Again, it's giving artists the opportunity to create memorable experiences for guests while also making a positive and sustainable impact within the local community. Very important. And then Enjoy and Feel Valued, which is really representing Accor's recognition and appreciation of its artists. So
I love it. And so if you're listening out there right now live, what is something that you really value and working for a hotel or a hospitality company? What's most important to you?
Yeah.
It could be, is it flexibility? Is it the training? Is it the pay? Is it the benefits? Let us know in the comments so that we can share that with all the people listening out there.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So love what they're doing at Accor. But okay. Let's talk about next up. So I'm actually curious to hear your thoughts on this, because you dabble a little bit more in this world. Mm-hmm. I know we've got Will in the background, who's probably going to have a lot to say. But Hawaii is considering banning short-term vacation rentals amid this housing crisis. So, okay, let's just break this down and understanding the housing crisis in general and what's going on in Hawaii. And I was just in Hawaii and I can understand this.
Right.
So obviously it's an island.
Yes.
Yeah, you can only go so far out and then you got ocean. So there's only limited real estate, really. And so what they found, it certainly with the pandemic and, you know, just trends in general, more and more people are buying a property there, which is raising the prices of these properties, and they're doing Airbnb, short-term rentals, you name it. And the locals are really having a hard time still affording living there. Now, that combined with the fires that happened in Lahaina. Yeah,
terrible.
They had a lot of locals were displaced, and they've been living in hotels, and they're still living in hotels because there's no affordable housing for them. Right. I even spoke with a pretty big hotel chain that we know, I won't say the name, but they reached out to me to figure out different ways of outsourcing, because they can't act until they end up building facilities to house their employees. They're having a hard time attracting talent because it's just so expensive to live there.
Yeah, it's tough.
So all of that considered, that is why Hawaii is considering banning short-term vacation rentals. And I want to know what you think. I know it's tough.
It's hard. And we've seen it already. Like New York City did it, right? So we've seen big cities that say, we're going to make these changes, mm-hmm. and they do it. And it affects a lot of people's livelihoods.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I also understand the other side where we need places for people to live. It's happening here in Miami.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Sarah and I are sitting right now. They're building 8,000 new condos that are all short-term rental approved, right?
8,000 new? Oh.
Half a mile away from where we're sitting, just six blocks to the left.
That's a lot.
A lot. It's gigantic. And so people are saying, well, all right, well, where is everybody else going to live? Because these are not, you know, workforce housing. Who's going to take care of these people? Who's going to service these homes? Who's going to do these things?
Yeah.
And so what I believe in, and this is not what everybody does, I think there needs to be a set of rules or laws that everyone can follow, because there are bad actors out there that create these party homes that are buying up all these places, don't really want to be good to the community, and really impact negatively the neighborhoods that they're in. And so I don't believe in that. Like our homes, we are good people. We want to make sure we take care of the community. We're not party homes. We're screening people out. We make sure that as best we can, we don't have a negative impact where we are.
Yeah.
But it's a challenge.
It's totally a challenge.
People who, like in any business, go for the money grab.
Yeah.
And it can be very detrimental to this business and gives a bad name. But on the other side, there's a lot more rules already on short-term rentals than there are hotels.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm in both worlds, and I would just love to see set rules, set laws that everybody can follow, so we know what's clear. Because right now it's pretty gray in most cities.
Yeah, no, it's totally gray. And also for perspective, just even as of March, more than 3,000 and this is just Maui, so there are many islands in Hawaii, and that's where Lahaina was or is. As of March, more than 3,000 West Maui residents are still living in hotels, which is paid for by FEMA. The program is scheduled to end on April 10th. They're looking to extend it. So it's just showing that, you know, there's definitely still.
Yeah, I think there's ways to do it too. You know, you can pay the short-term rentals instead of the hotels. I've been at conferences where FEMA does that for short-term rentals, because people want to get back into a home to have a sense of normality versus living out of a suitcase, which you just said you hate doing that just on a couple of weeks. Imagine doing that for months on end while your home was burned up.
Oh, it is not pleasant. There are some people that love to live out of a suitcase and just,
we know some people like that.
We do know people like
that. Don't have a home.
No. And that is not what, no, that is, I don't mind being out there and in the world, but it is challenging. And so to be pushed that way is definitely difficult. But by the way, Will chiming in the background here was saying there was a study that happened after they did some bans, and the locals who actually own a short-term rental were using it as a way to make a living are now suffering because of this. So, you know, it affects a lot of people.
And Paul.
What's this
from Ventor? Do you think the strength of the hotel and resort lobby in Hawaii also plays a big role in this push towards a short-term rental ban? For sure. Hotels and their associations will do everything possible to make sure that they represent the hotels, which is their client base.
Their business.
Right. And so, but these worlds are meshing now, right?
Yeah.
Now you're starting to see hotels get involved in vacation rentals and in residences. So very soon. 5 to 10 years from now, I think you're going to see a lot of set rules, set laws. The big players are going to be in it already, because you're seeing it now happening, right? We've talked about it in previous episodes where Marriott's already getting into apartments. You're starting to see a lot of these moves happen. So, look, they're all going to be meshed. I can see it. People want the brands they like. They want to use their points where they want to use them. And people like traveling different ways at different times.
So, you know, and even I'll just speak to, for example, some clients of mine were traveling in Cabo this last week. They stayed for a good part of the week in a really beautiful villa. Really, really beautiful. And then they were extending their trip, and then they were like, oh, hey, we want to stay at the Four Seasons for a couple nights before we wrap up. So just even showing you that people are staying in several types of accommodations just in one trip. So just depends on what people are looking for, but kind of cool to see it in real time.
Yeah, with that. It's happening and I see it. Look, I think Orlando has overbuilt them, but they have a good thing in place where these neighborhoods are short-term rental, vacation neighborhoods. Like, they don't even have mailboxes, and these are the neighborhoods that you can put a home.
Yeah.
But now some of those older neighborhoods are starting not to be the coolest place to stay, and they're slowly transitioning into long-term rentals. So it all kind of ebbs and flows.
It definitely ebbs and flows. Well, and then Orlando is such a unique market because of being the home parks, of all the theme parks, the home to Disney World. So that's definitely unique to that particular destination.
We could keep talking about that. That's a whole show in itself.
That's a whole show in
itself. We'll get the Monday crew on there.
Yes, we will. Yeah. They should definitely talk more about that. Okay. So by the way, so as I was putting together this show lineup, I found this topic, and I was sitting in a middle seat. We don't need to talk about that, but I was in a middle seat between two big guys.
Big humans.
They were bigger than me humans. I'm already tall enough, but they were bigger than me humans. And neither one let me have the armrest. So this is what was interesting. A flight attendant.
Both men?
Yes, they were both men.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. I sat there like literally elbows to my ribs. That's how I was sitting. It was not particularly comfortable, but a flight attendant recently did this announcement, and it sparked this social media debate over armrests. So we've all heard thing where it's like, oh, the person in the middle gets both armrests. But this was a United Airlines flight attendant. They basically made this announcement, which was different, is that he explained every person is supposed to use the armrest on their right and or their left side of the plane to keep the armrest on the aisles clear for carts and people walking down the plane. He said, and he said emphatically, no armrest drama would be tolerated. So first of all, I have never been on a plane where like a fight broke out over the armrest. Have you?
I have not, but I've seen crazier things on certain airlines that pop up on social media all the time.
This is true.
Right? You've seen some wild things, especially if we won't name the brands.
No, we don't
maybe
need to.
Maybe a yellow plane.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A couple of those.
People get, you know, obviously, like, some things can happen, but I've never seen an actual full...
No, but when I'm on the plane, and if you are sitting in the middle seat, I'm giving you that armrest, and I'm going to lean on the outside one.
Yeah.
That's the right thing to do. You're stuck in that middle.
But it was very fair what the flight attendant said.
Everyone just uses one to the left
or
to the right.
Well, if you were, it basically kind of applies to the people at the aisle seat that you shouldn't be leaning. Like, let's say this is the aisle.
I want the aisle. I want to lean out into the aisle. And if I see you coming with the cart, I will scoot over for you.
Yeah, but people fall asleep and then they left or they have their foot hanging out. Like the things I've seen, it's like, and they're, they get hit when the cart going by.
There's a lot of things that annoy me on plane. That's why I try to avoid the plane. You're on them all the time.
I am on them all the time. I mean, here's my thing. I'm like, put me in a window seat. Like, I'm good. I don't need to go anywhere. I'm locked in for the flight. We don't need to like make a thing out of it. I'm a pretty easy breezy, but I end up going all over and, you know.
But if you're listening out there, what seats do you normally reserve? I'm curious now.
Are you a window or aisle? Well, you're clearly an aisle.
I prefer the window.
Oh, you do?
When I like looking out the window.
And I do.
Kind of imagining what's going on out there in the clouds. You know, I like seeing nature out there. But there are times that depends how long the trip is.
Yeah.
I like the aisle if I'm going on a really long trip.
True. Yeah. And obviously if you're traveling with somebody, the ideal thing is that you've got the window and the aisle and it's just two seats, or if you're traveling with a family and you've got at least three of you, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. With us four, we get a whole row and one seat in the aisle.
Yeah.
That's usually what we do.
Which is not bad.
Yeah. We take the whole row and an aisle seat.
That ends up being pretty good.
It's very good.
It's always interesting seeing how, different people travel, but you know, people get so passionate about flights, but to me, it's like, it's all about the end destination.
We got window seat.
Window. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually realized because I always sit in the window seat, but recently just because I travel so much and sometimes I'll like come home on an earlier flight, or just things are, you know, I find myself on different flights. And so sometimes I get stuck in a middle seat because I just want to get home.
Yeah.
Fine. I actually found that I kind of get a little bit of motion sickness.
Middle seat.
That I didn't realize that I would get because I'm always looking out the window. And I didn't think that I had any sort of motion sickness sensitivity. But
so are you saying you're puking into the vomit bag in front of you, Sarah?
No, no, we are past those years. But yeah, that's bad news. Bad news bears. That's crazy. Okay. In honor of time, but I mean, we're hanging out in person. So we're going to enjoy ourselves. Why don't we go ahead and do our real time recap?
I love it. So real time recap today is a teacher planning day for all of the kids here in Miami-Dade.
Okay.
But I got to give a big shout out to my kids' school because they have been doing some awesome things for the eclipse that was going on this week. They were hyping them up. They got them all free glasses.
Oh, that's cute.
They brought in scientists to explain what the eclipse was like. They all went out there to go see it together, took pictures, sent it to the parents. Awesome to see because we couldn't do it with our kids while they were in school. So that's a good way of hospitality in school. You don't really see.
That's awesome.
A nice little touch. Look, I've been to so many different hotels this week, but I love seeing it when hospitality gets out of the hotels and gets into the real world.
Totally. And what a wonderful way to kind of get the kids all excited about it and like get the glasses. And you're right. I mean, teaching really is an element of hospitality because you're caring.
I don't know how they do it.
They are heroes.
I don't know how you all do this every day. They barely handle two.
Are heroes. Oh, goodness. Where do I begin in my real-time recap?
You've been everywhere. What's been your favorite gut feeling, your favorite hospitality of all the places you went in the past week? You've been in multiple cities, multiple types of travel, multiple types of hotels. What's been your favorite? You say, right now, I'm going again.
Oh, I really was wowed by the Omni PGA Frisco. That property is stunning. Everybody there was so nice, so helpful. Yep. And it really is just, they do a fantastic job. So if you are into golfing, it's definitely the place for you. And it was cool because you're in Frisco. So you're about 45 minutes out of Dallas. But they just create this almost comfortable, almost elevated lodge feel to it.
I get it. I saw the picture of the
cool. Yeah, it was really, really great. Really well done. So shout out to the team there, but really shout out to the team everywhere. The Hyatt Regency in Orlando, the Omni William Penn Hotel, which is a historic hotel in Pittsburgh, because I was there too. Now I'm at the Kimpton Palomar. I'm just going all over.
You're everywhere. But I want to give a shout out to that hotel too in Frisco, where they gave you the amenities.
Oh.
Because they thought about that. It was very cool. They had the robe that we talked about. They gave you all these little things. Your room was lit up with celestial lights.
How did I forget this?
That was
Thank
the
you
best
for
part.
Reminding me.
Because I worked in room service and we had to come up with these amenities all the time. We had to get like ultra creative. So when I saw that, I was like,
okay,
good job, Bobby.
So to get, first of all, if you don't know what we're talking about, head over to my social. I shared it actually a video on, but LinkedIn and then also as a reel on my Instagram. So you can see we went to dinner. And we're like, okay, cool. The eclipse is tomorrow. That's fun. Came back from dinner. No joke. I opened the door and I was like, oh, I went to the wrong room. I was like, there's stuff everywhere. I did not leave my room with stuff everywhere. I'm a very neat traveler. And I was like, what's in my room? And then I stopped and I was like, oh my gosh, it's for the eclipse, because they had this cool bathrobe on the bed, a little like toiletry kit. They had these bath bombs that were moons. And this really cool pillow that had Omni and Southwest, and it had the eclipse. So, and then they had a whole light set up as well.
Yeah, the lights.
So they had rotating lights on the ceiling.
And the stars.
Super. Yes, exactly.
That's the stuff I love seeing. So when I saw that, I was like, that is very cool.
Even a little chocolate that looked like an eclipse. Like it was very well done. So, that was fun.
Omni Frisco.
Yeah.
Good job.
That's right.
Oh, that's the creativity. I love seeing those meetings where people are like, oh, we're going to do this. And how are they going to share it?
Yeah.
Because when you share it, that gives the person who created it like the most excitement. Like they shared it. You see it's online.
And I was shocked. It was awesome. So I will be wearing the bathrobe next week. For anybody that cares, that's you, Jeremy. So why don't we go to our hospitality quote?
Hospitality quote of the week is, none of us is as smart as all of us, by Ken Blanchard. And I have his book actually right behind us.
You do?
Yeah, I have plenty of his books. The One Minute Manager is one of my favorite Ken Blanchard books.
I love that.
If you're a manager out there, get that one. It's easy read. Got it when I was 23. I still have it on the shelf behind me.
Is it still the original copy?
The original copy that 23. I got.
The pages are still
in there. They haven't fallen out or dissolved. They're still in the book.
As we are the same age, by the way. I'm totally
51.
You.
We look good for 51.
We do look good for 51. 51. How dare you?
Way older. They're like, wow, you look great.
Oh my gosh. No, we're 91, guys. 91. Biohacking right over here. Well, this is a fun show.
This is an awesome show.
This is great.
More in person. Do you like these in person, everybody?
Do you like these in person?
I think, look, hey, Nomad, we'll come over to a Nomad hotel.
Heck yeah, we will.
We've got a cool Miami hotel next time.
We'll travel for shows, as we have said. But in, well, who will it be? What, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? In 3 weeks, mm-hmm. I think.
3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks. I'll be back here and we'll be doing another live show. So make sure you subscribe, follow, do all that stuff. Pay attention.
Yes, and we would love to see you there. If we can do it live, we get approval. Maybe we can get approval and we can announce where we're going to be.
Good morning, hospitality crews for hire, by the way. So stay tuned because there is going to be another Good Morning Hospitality show popping up.
Yep, we got the Europe crew starting. So for those of you in Europe, you're going to get a Europe crew that you can also watch.
Yes, all of that and more. But don't forget your first true love.
Will's saying it's a secret. I won't say what's going on.
Oh my God.
Sorry,
secret.
Will.
Secret.
We didn't know.
Oh secret. My gosh. Oh my gosh. Well, there we go. So there you have it. That's our live show. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it.
Yep. Until next week. We'll see you then.
Yeah. Bye.